I have many different directions that I could go. Many different things I could say. But I want to go in the direction He's going. And I want to say what He wants me to say. I preached to you all the way down the road, 200 and some miles today. Had it rehearsed real well. Knew exactly what I wanted to say to help everybody in here. But I've been in it long enough now to know I'd better jump what that I think ought to be done. And it seems like tonight that it's headed in this direction. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I'm glad I have a God tonight that's always with me. And I've got a God tonight that knows what I need before I ever need it. I want my words tonight to go to you to be a help and an encouragement, but I won't tell you if I would quit right now. We could go to the house and say that God has helped us. Your pastor tonight has said it well. You are very fortunate to be in an atmosphere such as this. I know it just didn't happen overnight. And I know it just didn't spring up. I know it was birthed of God, and along the way there's been birth pains, and there's been a delivery room, and there's been some heartache, and there's been some trial. But I want to tell you that there'll be some more. I used to think the older I got, the easier it would get. Wrong. We're not looking for a way out. And we're certainly not looking for a way in. We're already in. But we are looking for a way to glorify Him. I honestly to God wanted to preach to you tonight on Peter and the love of God and the question that he asked Peter. Maybe next time God will let me preach it, but I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. I'll do like Liz told her 8th husband, I'll not keep you long. Joshua chapter 1. This letter starts off with a very interesting word. Now. Seems like God has said now, Joshua, we're not going to live in the past. Although you can really see where I've worked. We're not going to live in the future. Although thank God for the promises that we have. But we're living now. We're here now. Not interested what used to be. What's going to be. How is it now? You need to hear from God now. You need the presence of God in your life real now. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that God spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Here's our word again. Now. Therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, thank God, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, we thank you tonight for the inspired, inerrant Word of God. We thank you tonight for the precious promises that we have that's been ushered from the heaven itself, from God Himself. Thank you tonight, Lord, that we can rely upon it. We can trust it. Lord, we know tonight what you say is true. We ask you now to help this preacher. Dear God, would you unctionize us afresh and anew? God, we stand in need tonight. We're so weak in ourselves. But dear God, we'd ask you tonight for the touch of heaven. I pray tonight, Lord, that we've said something to help this church, to help this pastor, to help these people. I pray if it be one in our midst that's lost and undone without you, that you would do a work in that heart. You'd arrest that soul, remove the blindness, and draw them unto yourself before it's everlasting too late. For that child of God that may be discouraged, and dear God, we know there are many, wherever we go, facing discouragement down and out. But praise God for the precious promise that you've given us. You'll never leave nor forsake us. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory of what's accomplished here tonight in advance. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. The book of Joshua, of course, is a tremendous book where we see a new leader coming into focus, where we see a new land that they are going to operate in, in a new life for their occupation. I think one of the greatest things that could ever happen to an individual is to be born into the family of God and realize that his life is no longer the same, but he's changed. To realize that we have a God that has moved us from one place to the other. It is his choosing and it's his business. As we face tonight the challenges that come our way, and as we walk day by day in this world that we are in, there's always going to be obstacles that stand in the way. But yet there'll be valleys that our God digs on purpose, that puts us in it because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And as we begin to read this tremendous book of Joshua, we find that Joshua, a new man, God is raising up. And as God raises this man up, it's because he's set on a tremendous man of God and looked at the ways that God has delivered time and time and time again. Remember, they've been taught and they have experienced the opening of the Red Sea. They have seen the God perform miracle upon miracle that no one else could do. They've been eyewitness to the God of heaven and to the God that needs no help, that has reached down and helped every one of them. They remind me so much of myself. Boy, they shouted out one week, and the next week they're walking backwards and going in a different direction and murmuring and complaining and thinking they'd been better off where they were. But I want to tell you tonight, none of us would be better off where we were. Where God got us, God pulled us up, and God done something for us no one could ever do. I praise him and I thank him tonight that he's given me the opportunity to see that he's a God that works miracles even in the day that we are in. He's a God that will never leave us nor forsake us, and a God that will stand on the promise that he's given. I realize that there are many people tonight that do not believe our God is on the throne, but I'm going to tell you one thing, dear friend. He's never left it. Thank God he's still the God of gods and the God of heaven and the God of glory and the God that will see to it whatever our need may be. The greatest need man ever has is salvation. But apart from that, the greatest need man has is to know that God has set him apart for His honor and for His glory. And God has something for every individual to do. The greatest thing you will ever come into contact with and be aware of is that you are only you, and God made you for that purpose, and nobody else can do what God has called you to do. Joshua was a man that had a great leader, but Joshua was a man that God used in spite of who he was and in spite of where he came from. He done it in his sovereign act of grace and did not owe him one thing, but knew that Joshua would lead his people in the right direction. Now, what blows my mind is this. Here's a man that has seen God work, a man that's conscious of the very presence of God. In verse 5, here is a man that is confident in the power of God. Verse 6 and 7. Here is a man that's committed to the precepts of God in verse 8. But would you cast your eyes upon verse 9? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Am I reading that verse right? Am I quoting that verse right? Is that verse really in my Bible after we are told about the consciousness of the presence of God, the confidence in the power of God, and the commitment to the precepts of God? Are we told from heaven to not to get discouraged? Are we told from heaven to not to faint by the wayside? Are we told not to throw in the towel? Are we told to keep our eyes upon God? Are we told that our God is bigger than any problem that we'll ever face? This verse says something to me. It lets me know the frailty of man. And let me know, no matter how much the power of God that we've experienced, or that we believe in the preciousness, promises of God, that there are times when we all fail. And there's times when we all get our eyes off of God. And there's times when we need to be reminded that He'll never leave nor forsake us. Moses, my servant, is dead. Don't you think Joshua was not aware that God's power had been exhibited in Moses' life? Don't you think that Joshua was not aware and had confidence in the power of God and the presence of God? But Joshua now cannot go back and talk to Moses. So reality now in Joshua's life, hey, it's me. Moses can't pray for Joshua now. Moses can't tell Joshua what to do now. Moses cannot give Joshua advice now. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Tonight, you and I can shout from the housetop about the conscious presence of God. And thank God for it. But are you experiencing His presence? Is it real to you? If a tragic situation comes in your life, can you fall on your face before God and ask God to help you and strengthen you and to remind you that He will not leave nor forsake you? Are you the one tonight that God has called and put in the place that He's put you in for such an hour as this, or such a time as this? I tell you, on the authority of God's Word, He's promised He'll not leave or forsake us or put something on us that we could not handle. Have not I commanded thee? And then He didn't say, Pastor, have not I suggested to thee? Be strong! How in the name of God's heaven can I be strong when I'm down? How in the name of God's heaven can I be strong when I don't have the answer for what I'm going through?
How, in the name of God's heaven, can I be strong when I get a cold? That's the most precious thing, closest friend. My right arm has been killed in a car wreck. First thing I wanted to do was question God and said, God, you didn't. You, why? Why? Here's the big preacher. Here's the great leader. Here's the one that sticks his bony finger from his pulpit every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and all over this country, telling people to trust God. Here's the one telling somebody that God will not put anything on you, but He'll also give you the grace to get through it. This verse, come alive. And the precious promise was, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Look what else He says. Be not afraid. Whew. That floors me. The reason it floors me, if God said to be not that, He knew we were. Now let me tell you something. You can play high and mighty and play super spiritual and play like nothing bothers you and you never get afraid. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get afraid. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be afraid of some of the decisions you're going to have to make. You're going to be afraid of some of the things that you're up against. You're going to be afraid of what God's going to put you in. And you're going to be afraid. And you better be right with God when you call out to Him and ask Him to lead you. Be not discouraged, dear God, unto heaven tonight. Am I looking at a congregation tonight that nobody in here is discouraged? I would dare say tonight, even in this great work, in this great church, with this great man of God, with the great God that we have, that we serve, that love Him. I'm not insinuating we don't love God, but I'm saying I would be right tonight to say probably 75% of this congregation is in a discouraged mode. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou discouraged. But because He says not to do it, does that mean we won't? Brother David, I'm glad that when I am, He doesn't throw me away. I'm glad when I'm afraid, and I'm glad when I'm discouraged, and I'm glad when I'm down, and I'm glad. I was taught in Bible college school many, many years ago. You can't get close to your people. But here's another thing they said. Never go in your pulpit looking discouraged. Well, dear God, I wonder if they ever pastored any Baptists. That sounds good on paper and an exam and sounds good with them putting it in you to do all that stuff, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Bless God, I get discouraged. I get down. I drag my feet. I get to the place I want to throw it in. I get to the place that I say, what's the use? Not belittling this. You got your own problems. You're facing hell by the acre. Your adversary, the devil, walking back. It's a roaring lion seeking, roaming about, seeking to take you with one big gulp and to destroy you. He'll do everything he can to discourage you. You think he wouldn't want to split this church down the middle? You got another thought coming. And you got your problems, and everybody here tonight has problems and a discouragement. You got things that you could pray about, you could talk about, and thank God we can. I'm not belittling that. But I'm going to, have you ever thought for one instance, have you ever thought that a man of God that pastors a Baptist church, or pastors a church tonight, have you ever thought how many burdens that man has on him? How much problems that man has? And by, when he gets on his knees to pray for himself, the phone rings, he prays for 10 other people. Don't tell me we don't get discouraged. Don't tell me, bless God, we can shout it out on the mountaintop all day long. There's valleys that we go through. There's trials that we go through. There's discouraging moments that we go through. There's down and out times we go through. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Don't faint in well-doing. Why'd he say that? Well, let's just look. My God, I got a reason to shout even in the midst of it all. For the Lord. You notice that word is capital letters. After he's told us what not to do, he says, here's why I'm telling you not to be that. Because Jehovah, the self-existent one who needs no help, has given you this commandment. This word means that he surely will endure without raising a hand. It also means that his supreme existence is real. Thank God for a God tonight that needs no help but helps us. For a God tonight that will never get tired, but helps us when we get tired. Thank God tonight for a God, hallelujah, that will never get tired of us calling upon Him and asking Him to forgive us and to help us and to sustain us and to carry us along the way. I say hallelujah to the grace of God and for what God has done for us in the way that He's done it. The Lord thy God is with thee. Look at that next word. Whithersoever. You know what that means? Any pea-picking patch you go to. Any watermelon patch you in. Praise God, anywhere you at. No matter how high you are on the mountaintop, how low you are in the valley, or all in between, He'll never leave nor forsake you. And that same God that's sustaining you then will sustain you now. That same God that called you, thank God, cleanses you, changes you, helps you, He converted you, and glory be unto God, He's not going to disown you. I am God, and besides me there's none else. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, you get your eye on me, not on Moses. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Casting all your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. I believe I'm right, that word casting down, Peter. It's like taking a blanket horse and throwing it over a horse. And casting that thing over before you put the saddle on it. And just putting it there and then put the saddle on it. And that secures it between that it's on and that sitting on it. Praise be unto God. I want you to know when I cast it on Him and I get on that, God said it ain't going nowhere. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to lead you, guide you, and direct you. And glory be unto God. I'll see to it that it gets done. I don't know what you're facing, don't know what you're going to face, but you can rest assured, honey, when it does come, He says, I'll not leave you alone. I'll not forsake you then. I'll not turn my back on you. I'll be like I've always been to you. You can seek my face and praise God. You can find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's two little things I want to share with you why God told Joshua not to look at Moses. Turn back to Numbers 13. The Look at verse 10, verse 11. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Could I use this? Discouraged. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest this burden of all this people upon me? You know what Moses' problem was here? What our problem can get to be. Dear God, I'm carrying this burden alone. It's too heavy for me, which is right, it is. But the reason it's too heavy is because we are trying to carry it alone. I'm carrying all of this responsibility. All of these people. I'm doing all of this stuff. And I'm alone when he was not alone. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. How long was he with Moses? Forever! Talking to people right here tonight, you're trying to carry the burden alone. Your pastor's preached to you, others have talked to you, your family may have talked to you, but still you're trying to carry it alone. Brother David, I'm glad I have some friends. One of the best ones I got on this earth sitting right there. And I'm glad that when I can pick up my phone 200 and some miles apart, I can weep on the other end, and I can feel the compassion in his voice, and not to he, I'm praying for you, buddy. I'm glad, thank God, that God's given me some friends along the way. God's given me some people that I don't have to carry the burden alone. But above all, whether another man helped me carry it or not, my God says you don't have to carry it alone. I'm going to carry it for you. So don't get discouraged. We are. I'm just beating my gums together telling you not to get discouraged, because you are. But when we do, thanks be unto God, we can go back and say, He's not going to leave me. His presence is real. Glory be unto God. It's a time that I can feel His power. It's a time, thank God, that He has preeminence in my life. Although I don't understand it, I have His promise that He'll never leave nor forsake. I am not, verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. I'd say he done got a little discouraged. Well, that ain't spiritual, is it? You ever get to so discouraged, get to the place you said, dear God, I'd be better off dead. But don't ever make a stupid statement. What else could happen? That's about as stupid a statement as you'll ever make. Because believe me, it can. He got discouraged. He was defeated. He was down and out. And what he did is what you'll do and what I'll do. And I hate to even make this statement. But he placed the blame on God. You may not take your fist and shake it in God's face. And you may not openly say, I blame God for this. But our attitude and our actions and the way we do and the way we think and all that stuff says, now God, you could have prevented this. I started doing that 10 minutes to 8, 3 weeks ago on a Saturday morning. First thing I done was blame God. Because God's sovereign. And God can stop things if he wants to. But do you know that through this boy's death, there's been souls saved already? His own daughter has made a profession of faith. His wife supposedly has gotten right with God. Hadn't been in my church in over 2 years. Was there this morning. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And that boy had lived in pure hell for 2 years. Could be God just showed mercy to him and just took him out of here. I don't understand it. Because I wanted to blame God, my brother. Then I wanted to carry the burden myself. I made this statement. I said, told my wife, I said, well, I've helped everybody else up now for 2 weeks. I said, when I go to Mississippi, I said, that'll just be me and God, and I'll have my time of grieving. I know that may not sound real spiritual or religious. But you have to grieve. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of maturity. And everybody grieves in their own way. You know what tore me out of my frame, my brother? A long stretch after we got out of Alabama going on into Mississippi. The last time I went out there to preach a meeting, Kevin was driving. He got up behind. He's a NASCAR nut. He got up behind one of these 18-wheelers, a state trooper, a corporal and a state trooper now. Got up behind an 18-wheeler that went 6 to 8 inches between my bumper and that 18-wheeler. I said, what in the name of God's heaven are you doing? He said, drafting, man, drafting. Instead of me weeping and crying and going off to pieces, right where we did that, I busted out the laughing. I said, my God, find me an 18-wheeler. I'm going to try that. And if I'd have done it, you know what would have happened? Y'all would come to my funeral, probably. But it's amazing how God can take tragic situations and take things that we blame God for in an instant in our life and try to carry the burden ourselves, and God will take it and turn it around, work it out for our good and for His glory. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Don't get down. When you do, look to Him. You can't figure it out? Look to Him. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul had been through a lot of suffering. Now, that's a lot of controversy about what the thorn in the flesh was. I got my idea and you got your idea, but the Bible tells us what it was. You can read it and just take a plain face of what the Scripture is, what it is. It's the message of Satan that buffeted him. Satan was his thorn. And he's yours too. Now, here's, God says, Paul says, I sought the Lord thrice. That word does not just mean three times. It means continually, continually, continually sought God to remove that thorn. I'd say he was a little discouraged. I'd say he was a little dismayed. I'd say he was in a place he didn't really know what to do about that. But you know what the promise was? Here comes that promise again. Do you know what the promise was? God said, I'm not going to remove that thorn. Maybe God says, I'm not going to remove that burden off of you right now. I'm not going to take that off and make it a happy-go-lucky mountaintop experience right now. He says, what I'm going to do, though, is promise you that I'll give you the grace to get through it. I've never experienced dying grace. You know why? I have needed it. But I go to my grave believing this and shouting it out, honey, whether I'm in the valley, on the mountaintop, or in between. When it comes my time to go, it'll be new grace that I've not experienced before. It'll be grace that I have not discovered. It'll be grace that's never been uncovered. It'll be grace, glory be unto God, that'll help us in our way. It'll be grace, praise be unto God, that'll keep us from getting discouraged. That'll keep us from getting dismayed. That'll keep us from getting to the place that we feel like we can't go on. It's the grace of God that'll see you through. It's been grace that's brought me safe thus far. It'll be grace that takes me the rest of the way. There's nothing that any of you in here can go through tonight that God's grace can't handle. not belittling your problems. I'm not belittling your burdens. I'm not belittling what you're up against. But I am telling you, we've got a big God that can take care of everything we're up against. Well, I've had my say.